Today we're talking about praising the Lord. And I often try to put in a gospel text into our message in the morning with the scriptures. And today, Roland shared with you two psalms about praising the Lord. But when it comes to the gospel, there's not a whole lot of evidence where Jesus praised his Father. There are four instances where we find some form of praise, and two of them are him reciting portions of Psalms. But there is one place, and it's in Matthew 11 and verse 25 and 26, where Jesus says, "I praise you, Father." That's the only instance we have of Jesus saying that. He says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." So in this one instance, we have the words of Jesus actually saying, "I praise you, Father." But what I want to focus on this morning is praising God. And so this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to move out here, if you will allow me to do so. I'm going to remove this as well. So a little boy came running up to his mother and said, "Mom, Mom, guess what? I'm 9 feet tall." And she said, "Oh, don't be ridiculous. You can't be 9 feet tall." He said, "No, really, I am." And she said, "What makes you think you're 9 feet tall?" He said, "Well, I took off my shoes and I laid down and I stacked them up alongside of me and I was 9 of them." So this little boy created his own measuring stick to measure himself. And, you know, we tend to do that as well. But the Bible tells us when we create our own measuring sticks, it's not really wise. But we often do that to compare ourselves to other people and other things. And we say, "Well, I'm as good as that person, or at least I'm not as bad as that person." When I was in the Boy Scouts, we went to Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico. It's the largest scout ranch in the world. And we hiked for 2 weeks in the Rocky Mountains. And one of our days brought us to Baldy Mountain, that at 12,441 feet is the second highest peak in New Mexico. At the base, it's 90 degrees, and it's just lush with trees and undergrowth and shrubbery and things like that. But at the top, it was 40 degrees and bald. No plant life whatsoever, just rock and snow. And so on this day, we found ourselves getting ready to ascend Baldy Mountain. And we left our packs behind, except for one. I carried one that had first aid equipment in, and we started our day up that mountain. And as we went along, we noted how we were in pretty good shape. I mean, we were passing other scout troops going up. And when we got to the top, we puffed our chest out because we had conquered Baldy Mountain and we had done so better than anyone else on the mountain that day. But then we looked down over the other side. And coming up the other side was another troop with full packs, 50, 60 pounds. They were not on a trail. They were trailblazing, climbing over boulders and old dead trees and things as they came up. And our chest deflated a little bit. And when they got to the top, it was like someone took a pin and burst our bubble because it was a group of Girl Scouts. Ladies, you have my respect, okay? Now, we did not need the Girl Scouts to humble us and put us in our place. For at that height, you could see for miles and miles and miles of God's creation. And all we really needed to be humbled was to see with our eyes all the things that were around us, to think about how high we were, what we were standing on, and what we were seeing, God's creation. And that should have been enough to humble us immediately. In Psalm 8, David wrote, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars that you have set in place, who is man that you would be mindful of him, the son of man that you would care for him?" On Saturday, my family and I will be making our annual pilgrimage to the beach. And although I have seen the ocean many, many times, every time I gaze upon it, I am just taken aback, and I am amazed at its size and beauty. Usually we get there kind of in early to late afternoon, and by the time we unpack and we get settled and get something to eat, it's starting to get evening. And we will walk over to the beach, and we'll look at the ocean, put our feet in. But it's the next morning when things really take off. And all of us, and that includes my family, my mother and father-in-law, and my wife's twin brother and his family. And we gather our toys, our boogie boards, our chairs, our umbrellas, our snacks, all the things that we could take. I mean, we look like a caravan of Persian traders heading out across the beach. And then we just sit and we enjoy. We play in the ocean, we play in the sand. But my favorite time of the day is when it's time to leave, okay? And this is why. Because I tell them, you all go back. Just go back, get your showers, get ready for the evening, and just take your towels. I'll gather up all the umbrellas, I'll gather up all the chairs and all the toys, and I'll bring them back myself. So you guys just leave. And when they leave, then I just sit and I relax. And I just gaze out upon the vastness of the ocean. And I start to think about things like how big it is and how deep it is. I think about all the ships that are going back and forth and where they're going and what they're carrying. I think about what's on the other shore on the other side and who's over there looking this way. I think about all the sea life that is in there that I don't even know about. And I listen to the waves just unending, crashing into the shore, and I can feel that rumble of the waves coming up through the sand and through my body. And I am in awe, and I'm humbled by its power and its size. In comparison to the Atlantic Ocean, who is man that God should be mindful of us? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun and the moon. And just think about the sun itself. I mean, this thing is so big that it's hard for us in our small minds to comprehend its size. We can't even get within a million miles of it without being burned up. And yet we need it in order to survive. And then when you look out at the night sky with a tapestry of stars spread as far as the eye can see, and you remember that each one of those stars is a sun in and of itself, it makes you realize how small you really are. The oceans, as I said, are magnificent. And if you've ever stood in the waves, you know that they can pummel you, right? The power of the ocean is just awesome. And yet those waves are just toying with you. They're just playing with you. I mean, consider what a hurricane can do to a shoreline or to a city. And we understand how small we are. If you've ever been out on the sea, beyond the sight of land, you realize that we are very small in comparison. And God created the mountains and the valleys and the deserts. And yes, with professional training, we can conquer those things. But this year has taught us, if you've followed the news, as many people who have conquered Mount Everest, as many or more have been conquered by that mountain. In the animal kingdom, we aren't even the fastest, we're not the strongest, the largest, or even the most beautiful. And so when compared to all of creation, who are we that God would be mindful of us? David wrote in Psalm 103, "We are dust. As far as man, his days are like the grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field, and the winds blow and it is gone, and its place remembers him no more." The stars, the heavens, the mountains, the ocean, they've all been around for thousands and thousands of years. They've been here since the beginning. Even our long lives are short in comparison. So who are we that God would be mindful of us? And yet he is, amen? God is mindful of us because even though we are short-lived, even though we're not the most powerful, And even though we are the only creation that breaks God's heart, God still loves us. And that makes us special because we are created in His image. And no other creation, living or non-creation, can claim that honor of being created in the image of God. And we are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And even though in all of our weakness and our sinfulness, we are God's most treasured creation. And it was for us that He gave His only begotten Son to die for our sins. Christ didn't die for the sun or the moon or the mountains or the ocean or the whale. He died for us because God loves us with an everlasting love. And that makes us special. It gives our lives meaning and purpose and worth. One of the popular things now is to do the ancestry DNA. Have any of you done that? Any of you do your trace your lineage back? My family has. And on my mother's side, we trace our lineage back to William Shakespeare. One of his daughters married a Hall who moved to Pennsylvania and so forth. And so from my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's play, Macbeth, is this line. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. When I read that piece of Macbeth, it reminds me of verses 15 and 16 of David's psalm. As far as man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. Its place remembers him no more. Sounds similar, right? But listen to David's next verse, verse 17. He says, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with his children's children." And that verse makes a big difference in those comparisons because, as Shakespeare lamented, for the unbeliever, their life is told by an idiot who doesn't know them. But our lives as believers, yours and mine, it is told by a living God who loves us unendingly. Who are we that God would be mindful of us? Compared to God's creation, we are nothing. The only reason our lives have any meaning is because God gives us meaning, and we are His treasure. He treasures us. If God cared nothing for us, oh, we would be truly wretched and without hope. But God does care, and His love is everlasting to everlasting. No matter how much we hurt Him, no matter how many times we turn our back on Him, God does not stop loving us. Listen to verses 8 to 14 of Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are but dust. We are dust. So often we tend to measure and compare ourselves to others and other things in order to give ourselves worth and to make ourselves feel great. But we need to remember that no matter what great things we do or the things we accomplish, we are but dust. And the only reason we have meaning is because God treasures this dust. And therefore, we, like David, should begin and end our days saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, O my soul." In his psalm, he began by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." That's how David starts his hymn. And then he ends his psalm saying, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you his mighty ones who do his bidding and obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, O his works everywhere in his dominion." And last but not least, he ends by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, my soul." Because God created us, and not just created us, but created us in his image. Because God loves us even in our sin, even when we hurt him. And because God gives our lives meaning, we should praise our Lord with our whole being, with our souls. Praising God means remembering what he's done for us. It means doing what he commands us to do and obeying his will. Praising isn't just singing some hymns and saying some words, but it's doing and it's living. As I told the kids, we're to praise God with every moment of our day. Our lives are living hymn to him. We are to do his will. And what is his will? To proclaim the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. So often we try to promote ourselves and bolster ourselves, but that's not what we are created for. We are created to worship God and proclaim his son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist told his followers, "I must become less so that Christ may be great." And like John, we need to become less so that Christ may be raised up through us. Although we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, we are truly only great when we humbly remember that we are but animated dust shaped into jars of clay. One of the things that makes us special is we are created in the image of God. But another thing that makes us special is that God has given us a treasure within these jars of clay, a treasure that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 is to preach Christ. That is the treasure within us, the gospel message, so that to show the all-surpassing power that is within us is not of ourselves, but it is of God. We are to raise up God. We have been given this treasure because of God's great love for us, and we have been given the treasure of the gospel to preach the riches of Christ's salvation to the world. That is the treasure that is within us. This incredibly valuable message of salvation has been entrusted to us, frail and fallible jars of clay. And although we are fragile and weak, God gives us power. God gives us power to use to spread this gospel treasure. And so let us preach him, let us declare him, and let us proclaim him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen? 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 I mean, who are we that God should be mindful of us? We are his treasure. We are the children of God. Amen and amen. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve.